Bonjour, I am Sandrine, your host for this podcast. Together, we will learn about the infinite quantum and galactic realms so we can embody more of our multidimensionality and accelerate our ascension.
Thank you, everyone, for joining. And as a kind of a background to this, so Sandrine and I felt called to collaborate to bring you some of these codes and messages, and kind of we're both working in the energy healing and coaching and evolution space. And so we've both seen how these, let's say, illusions or the way that we are often raised and brought up, how that actually influences our perspective of reality and what impact even shifting one belief can have on your entire interaction with reality or in your entire life. And so we felt called to bring some of these to you because we think it's really important for people to start becoming more and more aware. And I can give a brief little intro myself. I've kind of lived all over the world at this point and currently living in Bali. And it's my highest excitement to help people, to offer people kind of a structured ascension process out of, let's say, 3D reality and into becoming a creator of your reality. And I came from the finance and business world. And so this is, you know, kind of walking between the business and the shamanic circles. And so walking that razor's edge to help people understand, let's say, higher esoteric concepts in a very grounded and approachable way. And being that bridge between business, kind of business luxury and spirituality. And so really excited to be here. And Sandrine, off to you.
Thank you, Alex. Yes, I'm really happy to co-create with Alex, and so we share a lot of, you know, common interest around evolution, as Alex mentioned beautifully. And for me, it's like I don't really think I've ever been much in the 3D reality as such, because my mom and dad were a little bit like, like dad's a yoga teacher, and I come from a yoga teacher's family on that side. And then the other side with mom, she was always very open to spirituality. She took us to Sufi camp and all sort of woo-woo whack stuff. But it didn't help me either, having parents like that, in a way that it's not because they were open to a lot of spiritual concepts. And I was born kind of woke, in a sense that I was highly psychic and so on. But for me, it's interesting because a lot of people would assume that because I was brought up in such an environment that it was easier, but actually I experienced the matrix like everyone else. I was completely trapped in the matrix by my own doing and by my circumstances. And my mom and dad also were very like trapped in the matrix and their illusions. And they did the best they could with what they had, and so did I. And all is, you know, all is perfect. But it's really interesting for me to observe that it's really a lifelong journey of self-responsibility to have this, you know. It's really like a calling. It's a heart desire. It's pure devotion to the path of enlightenment, pure devotion to the path of awakening, and also serving others, you know, humbly on that path. So it's a beautiful thing for me to be able to connect with other people, because, you know, I can bring my share in this bigger matrix to help others understand, you know, with my own experiences as humbly as I can, on how we can like shift out of the matrix, also understand what are the illusions coming from that. And it's a lifelong journey again, isn't it, Alex? It never stops.
I know, it's always, there's always more layers, and no matter how much you've solved, you know, you're still finding more and more layers. I think what I've noticed is that there's an inflection point in people's journey where they tend to start out of pain and out of fear and out of saying, oh, you know, this isn't working and I don't like this. And this part of my life is, you know, I don't like it. So let me find some healing. Let me find some ways to shift out of that. And so just note that the mechanism under that is moving away from fear. And then there comes a point where you look around, you're like, oh, actually, no, I'm good. I like my life. Everything is, you know, I feel good. And then your question becomes, okay, what else? How can I, you know, and you start growing out of excitement, out of expansion, rather than out of fear. And that's the inflection point where, you know, people's journeys start to accelerate, where they realize they're already healed. There's nothing to heal. And that's the point where it's like, oh, childlike wonder and curiosity and, you know, galactic codes and other things. And I know we'll get more into that in later conversations. However, I do want to focus people's attention on the rationale for why you're doing something, Why are you going to a particular ceremony, sitting with plant medicine? Why are you working with a particular person? Is it to get away from something or to move towards something? And that underlying mechanism is actually really important because it will manifest very different results. And maybe we can de-jargon a little bit in the beginning. I find that that's helpful for people. So I know we keep talking about the matrix. So I would love to hear from you, Sandrine. What is the matrix to you?
Oh, which pill are we going to take, right? Like, the Matrix was my favorite movie ever when I was living in Belgium. And the funny thing is that I've actually never watched it in English. It was translated in French. So I'm like, I really need to watch it in English, maybe with my friend Shannon, who just watched it for the first time. But anyway, like, it was kind of the first glimpse. I think I binged watched it like 30 times because it really explained for me precisely what I was feeling but couldn't explain into words. It was being trapped and like such pressure, and it's like a network that's completely impossible to break free from. Well, this was my concept, you know, like having, like, we are born and we are put into these, you know, little boxes and categories, and then like we are being enslaved from being a child, you know, having to go to school. I remember as a young child, I would say to mom, but I'm a slave. I'm in prison, mom. How can this be? And I was like, oh, I know, but this is the way it is. And I'm doing it to my kids now. But it's very much that. It's just like this deep awareness that I wasn't free. And instead of looking for answers within and trying to heal myself and grow, what happened to me is that, like, I got more and more trapped into this matrix. Like so many of us, you know, it's so many of people who are awakening the pain and the hurt of seeing the world the way it is, of seeing like what people do to each other, what we do to ourselves, and the fact that we are so trapped. Like, it's so hard that instead of finding courage and reaching out for help, we kind of retrieve within and we go into all sorts of self-destructive patterns, such as, you know, like depression, drug use, like all sorts like that.
Well, all of those actually are the root cause of all of those is shame. Right? So we get kind of tricked into thinking that, oh, this is what you do in order to be good. This is what you, and whether it's our parents, whether it's a school system, whether it's something else, we become conditioned that we're not perfect as we are. And that in order for us to be loved, we actually have to do something, not just be, but do. And that is already kind of a major breaking point. And so we grew up with these things where, you know, many of us are born with kind of this truth filter. And I know you and I probably had this growing up. We were looking around, you're like, all right, something's off. Something is off. I can't tell you what it is. I'm a 4-year-old. I don't know, but something is off. But, and this is kind of the journey that I know we've taken, is to start to get a higher level glimpse of, okay, what is this set of, let's say, coding? And when I say coding, it's just it's your way of interfacing with the world. It's the way that you look at the world. And when we're sharing certain codes, we're giving you different perspectives, different viewpoints on the world that you can feel free to take on if it resonates, but also please don't take it on just because we say that. So the key here is to teach you to kind of think and feel for yourself rather than just to take on what someone else gives you. So that's that freedom, is that ability to kind of feel for yourself. And some things might resonate with you today, and some things might resonate with you 5 years from now, and also allow that to be part of the journey. Yeah. And like, I know I've noticed for myself going from that in the initial stages of, let's say, the awakening process, there was more resistance, like, oh, how could they do this? And it was this righteousness energy that was like, oh, I can't believe that I was taught this and this. And you end up blaming people. And eventually you just realize, okay, there are no mistakes. Mm-hmm. And that actually every experience that you've had, whether it's a relationship where you got rejected or betrayed, or a job that you got fired from, or a country that you had to move to against your will, you know, because your parents moved, whatever that is, those were actually the choices of your soul. And the reason that that happens is to point your attention to something. Just like when your body is hurting, it's actually calling your attention to a specific part of the body. Except oftentimes we end up doing what? We end up running to something else. And we end up going, oh, okay, let me, you know, go take an aspirin to make the pain go away. Let me, you know, go out to the bars to make whatever reality I don't like go away. So that's certainly one option of doing that. And we already know that we've tried that. The question we get to ask ourselves is, do you still enjoy that? And is that serving you? And if the answer is no, then we feel like we kind of owe it to ourselves to try a different way. So we're here to offer a little bit of a different way of looking at reality. Yeah?
Yes, it's beautifully said, because like our mission, like Alex and I, it's also to help people to really be fully aligned to their sovereignty, because I find it, especially with everything that's happening in the world right now, like a lot of us can get out of alignment. Oh, is this what I should believe in? Or is this the truth? Or is that the truth? And I find that, like, because actually the metric is shifting right now so much, it's like, what we believe to be true for so long, now it might not be so true. We might have been lied to extend that we cannot even comprehend, because it's actually painful to even think that, because then there is shame as well, as you mentioned so well, Alex, about shame. Oh, like people have shared about that before, but I don't really want to believe in, because it's maybe not true and it's painful. But actually it's like, I find that it goes beyond that, because for me, the bigger purpose of this massive matrix shifting and this mass awakening of the ascension process is really to eventually, you know, bring people back within the sovereign alignment and the sovereignty. And it's always filtered from the heart portal. It's like, how does this resonate with me? And if it's painful, can I still keep it in my heart and trust that maybe it's a truth that might be really nasty to see, but I still feel that there is some kind of veracity in it. I just, you know, gonna detach myself and tune into it and stay aligned to my power and not go like, you know, like go all the way down and then all the way up and then share this and be outraged at that, only to, you know, remove the post after, because we don't know the involvement we are supposed to be having in society right now.
For sure. And, you know, it comes down to what is, there's oftentimes that I hear people talk about the ascension process, and I'm the guy in the room that asks, okay, so what? Like, what does this let me do? Why do I care? And it's important to ground and be able to understand, okay, what is the impact that this has on your day-to-day life? And how are you actually taking these, you know, there's people who can download codes and, you know, talk to councils and okay, that's great. However, the important part is actually to then ground it in this reality. And how are we actually doing that? And so part of, you know, why knowing what some of these matrix codes are, why is that important? Well, knowing, first of all, that awareness is going to allow you to start shifting out of them, is going to start to allow you to question maybe some other beliefs, which in reality, we should question all beliefs that we hold and hold nothing at 100%. And then, you know, in terms of applying, once we get farther down into this journey of, okay, we've kind of cleared that part up and we've accessed our, let's say, multidimensionality, and we've talked about channeling. So what does that allow you to do? It allows you to actually, let's say, download instructions or guidance from your soul, which already has, you know, all kind of probabilities calculated. And then you can actually figure out the how. And so this is actually one of the codes that I'd love to talk about is, it's that we, as a society, we tend to use our mind to predict. And so our mind is actually not meant for innovation. It's the mind will only create things based on the past. And so it can't create anything new, or at least it can't create breakthrough innovation that isn't logical. So for instance, an easy example in the business world is Steve Jobs. So he's known as super highly innovative and creating, you know, products that nobody could think of because the man was channeling. he wasn't sitting there. It's like, okay, let me figure out the calculus behind this iPhone. It's being able to balance receiving higher dimensional information and guidance, and then actualizing it in this reality. And so as a society, we've become conditioned to, you know, our mind, relying on our mind to create the future, which can only create more of, you know, of the past, just maybe in different, and it looks a little bit different. And so then the only way to actually shift out of that is to allow our soul and let's say higher, our channel, our higher self, to actually make those decisions. And so the shift that I've noticed for me, and I would love to hear your perspective on this in a second, is I basically make decisions from soul resonance. And so, you know, that feeling when someone is talking to you and you're like, yeah, it's a full fuck yes. Yes. And you just know. And so I'm like, okay, it's either that or it's a no. There's no in between. And so then I go to my mind and say, hey, I've actually already made the decision. I don't need you to tell me whether to do it or not. I've already decided, you know, soul and I've got this. Now tell me how.
Yes.
Yeah. And so this allows us to then shift the conversation to whether, to how. And think of a very practical example, like, you know, somebody's inviting you to a retreat and you're like, oh man, but that retreat is $25,000 and that's more than I've ever spent. But your soul says, you need to be there. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter. You're going to meet, like, you just know. And yeah. then you ask the question, how, the money will come if you ask the right question. Mm. If you ask the question of whether should I do this and you start involving the mind, it's not going to happen. It's going to come up with a million reasons. However, if you actually shift that and say, okay, how, it will create a different set of solutions that will actually then get you exactly what you need. Yeah. So I'd love to hear your experience with this one.
Yes, I really love it because like studying the mind is one of my favorite subjects ever because as you say, like when we operate from the mind, it can only be a construct from the past because like we live from our subconscious mind. Most people who are not fully awake are actually working on the mind, you know, consciously and then on the heart part unconsciously. We still function with the subconscious mind, like up to 90% of the time. And when I started learning about neuroscience, I was just, why isn't this taught at school instead of stupid geometry or whatever that this is? Well, I like to know the sacred geometry shape, but whatever, you know, it's like, it's this deep realization that we have a, such a powerful, like it's literally like a magic computer there, but it's completely, it works in default. It's like, it's running wild, like the wild monkey in the head. And all of this process of understanding that actually we are trapped in the matrix because we think, because we act, because we make decisions based on the mind and not on the heart. But the mind, it's like there is the lower mind and then the higher mind and the subconscious and conscious. So it's very interesting if any of you is interested to learn about that, just, you know, to learn about neuroscience and so on and how to rewire the brain. Because for me, it was really the first steps of retaking self-responsibility about my own mental health and stop being a victim of the matrix. It was like, okay, I feel this way or I constantly create the same scenarios in my relationships or in work or, you know, with my parents. It's constantly, why am I trapped into this scenario? Well, it's because of all the fears and subconscious beliefs that were there. And I was not aware of this process. So first, like I said, it really regaining control over my mind, mostly through mind practices and meditations and affirmation and like all of my quantum healing that I do naturally on myself. But after that, I really started going more into, yes, like filtering from the heart portal. And for me, as you said, it's like, as you explained clearly.
So when you talk about the heart portal, can you go into that a little bit and de-drag in that and tell people what that means?
Yes, yeah, so thank you. Like, so the heart is really the seat of the soul. So it's like, when the soul is first created, it's actually, it's the heart. And when the soul is being seeded in our physical body, it really comes from the heart, from the cosmic heart, like our soul blueprint is there. And so it's being placed inside the body. And it's literally like a portal. So I do a lot of that. I also have a free masterclass in two parts on heart healing and heart recording. And so we enter the heart portal and we observe all of these chambers. And it's actually a portal through our own emotional system, like the way we can connect with our soul through our intuition, like having crystal clear intuition. And it's also the way I start connecting more with my galactic team, because yes, of course, it works with the upper chakra, but it's actually by being fully anchored in the heart that we can receive crystal clear information, as you say, you know, like, I really want to enroll into that mastermind with this amazing quantum, you know, business coach. Like, I really want it. But when I look at my money and like the client, it's like, it doesn't really add. But then the heart is there. Go for it. You know, it's for you and so on. And so the mind starts going with all the limiting beliefs. It's like, bah, bah, bah. I love the metaphor. Like, you know, like in old cartoons, like the little angel, and the little devil. And it's like, bah, 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 bah. But then always going back to the heart.
Except we have like, you know, 1,000 of those going at the same time. There's like 1,000 angels and 1,000 little devils. and so I really love the metaphor that Eckhart Tolle uses for this. And he's like, basically using your mind to shift out of the mind is like the chief of police trying to find the arsonist when the arsonist is the chief of police. It's literally an impossibility. And you kind of, you know, you mentioned that relationship between intuition and and the mind. And another beautiful metaphor that I like to use is, so think of a chess grandmaster who is like really at the top of his game, and he's really, really good. He's got a beard, he's got his glasses, so you know he's really good. And you know, he's like, man, I've been playing this my entire life and I can think 50 moves ahead. And then on the other side of the chessboard is this quantum supercomputer that is like, oh, hey, yeah, I'll take your 50 moves and I'll raise you 10 billion. And the quantum supercomputer has already thought through like every single combination, billions of moves ahead in a fraction of a second. And so that chess grandmaster, that's our mind. Mm-hmm. The quantum supercomputer is our intuition. Yeah. And so by saying that I know how reality operates, and by saying, oh, I can predict everything and I know, as soon as you're entering into that fixed mindset of I know, you're actually eliminating pretty much 99.9% of possibilities of you to interact with reality. But you're set by defining it and kind of shifting out of the student mindset, you're actually eliminating so many possibilities.
Absolutely love it. And like the empowerment that comes from being able to tune into this heart and like this soul knowing, it's so empowering because the message is really crystal clear, right? So like maybe we could talk a little bit as well with the challenge that arises if we are able to really bring in this clear message, you know, from our soul into our heart, then after what happens is that, you know, like the negative mind and the limiting belief, they're going to start rushing in, right? So it's very important as well to realize that a lot of this process is still trapped into the matrix system. Like, for example, you were in the workforce, you know, like you were traveling, you had such a good, perfect job. Can you a little bit explain on how you transition from feeling this and how the matrix maybe was trying to catch you? Did you have that, like all of these doubts of the matrix or like people really trapped in the matrix? Alex, you shouldn't be doing this, because like we love our family and friends and colleagues and so on, but if they are really fully trapped in 3D matrix, it's very hard as well to extract ourselves from it because they mean well, you know. Can you talk a bit into your experience maybe?
Yeah, and so it's interesting, you know, when we start out on this journey, we don't know what we don't know. And because we're surrounded by so many people who are, you know, we hold as authority figures just by virtue of them being around us for a long time, which by the way, doesn't make anyone an authority figure. We end up taking on their belief systems. And so as a result, you know, we don't see anyone, we're like, oh, well, this is how relationships are, because this is what I see my parents do. And by the way, this is how you recreate traumatic patterns. And that's why relationships suck for many people, but they just won't admit it. I'm like, okay. And they'll recreate the same patterns at work. And we end up just doing what we're told to do just by virtue of us, you know, that's what we see, and we don't know what we don't know. And so there usually comes a significant pain point that will push people out of it. And for many people, the journey starts with like an extreme amount of pain that really shifts them out of their patterns, that says, I need to do something different right now, or I'm not going to survive. It kind of puts them well into that darkness. And so for me, ayahuasca is a beautiful plant medicine that, you know, allows you to shift out of that very, very quickly. And so I went to Peru and sat with and did like shamanic work for several weeks in the Amazon, and that kind of got me started on that journey. But overall, throughout my life, I've kind of experienced the world, and people would like, oh, you should do this and you should do this. I'm like, okay, great, thank you, no. And like I kind of had that truth filter maybe activated from early on. And this is another of those illusions that actually I would love to point people's attention to, is taking reality as what you're given and accepting other people's reality. And so prime example, you know, right now we can watch the news that says, oh, well, this and this is happening and this is happening. And what people don't realize is by actually listening to that and taking that on and engaging with it, you're actually taking on that person's reality. That doesn't mean it's yours. And another, you know, a very simple example is I could come to a restaurant and somebody will say, do you want tea or coffee? And I'll smile and say, I want ice cream. And it's like this ability to, okay, I'll take whatever reality you're presenting. It doesn't at all mirror or affect my reality. I'm going to hold it at a distance. I'm going to, from an infinite number of sources, whatever option, select what is it that I really want in the moment, completely irrespective of what you just said. And then I'm going to find a way to make sure that what I want happens. And so this is this ability to like find a different door or to even know that a different door always exists. So like I went to, so out of undergrad, I went to work for this big company. It was a big defense contractor working on nuclear submarine projects. And like they had their rules pretty straight. They're like, you do this and this and this, like very military mindset. And within a week, I saw this job that it was like, you need 25 years of experience. You need to be like a general in the army and in the galaxy and all these like ridiculous things to even apply for it. Like, I don't care, I'm applying for it. So I apply for it. I walk into the hiring manager's office. I was like, hey, I know you're not going to hire me because you have these rules. However, what you're going to do is you're going to give me a project that I'm going to lead for the next year, and then I'm going to deliver it, and then you're going to give me another one. So let's figure out what the project is.
Excellent. I love it.
So he loved it. He gave me a project. And so like in a week, I went from, you know, whatever I was doing to managing a project of 20 people. Why? Just because I saw that was like, this is what I want. This is my door. And this is the, like, I'm going to make this happen. And so I would invite people to start tuning in, you know, whatever you're presented, how can you expand the field of possibilities? And how can you find out, like, add additional options? And it could be something really trivial. Like you're going to a restaurant and it could be like, oh, I want this dish, but maybe not this thing. That's already expanding your options, right? So start feeling into that. And, you know, maybe as you're sharing your experience, people can type in the chat box, you know, me, if you've kind of experienced this, or if you have a question around that, would love to hear your experience and your questions, and would love to hear from you, Sandrine, about this.
Yes, I love it. I like, thank you for sharing. You got such a cool life. But yes, like talking a little bit into the options that we have and not necessarily settling for any of them, but to open the fan even wider, to really find, you know, solutions that are more suited for our soul, I find that it can trigger a lot of people because they don't want to be annoying, you know, they don't want to bother others, you know, how are they going to think about me? And for me, it's like, it's typical. If I go to a restaurant, I've got certain dietary needs, like that are very, they can be intense, you know, like vegan and gluten-free and so on and so on. So I had to observe like people's reaction, even my own daughter, if there is nothing on the menu, like kindly raised the question, can you do something for me? And kind of observing the emotion arising, oh, I'm ashamed because before I would have never said something. Or it's as well, like if you go to the supermarket and then you notice that there's been something wrong, you know, like on the invoice, it's like they didn't calculate it properly. How do we feel about saying, you know, pointing things out and really opening the options for ourselves, or like, you know, anything really that, you know, brush around that, it's like really observing the resistance first and saying, does this really serve me to think like this? No, I want to have a decent meal. I'm being polite, I'm being heart-centered, and I'm just, you know, letting them know I would love to spend my money at a beautiful restaurant, but I do not see anything on the menu. Can your chef be a bit creative, you know, and simply from the heart? And very often, actually, like people could be a little bit surprised because we raised something that they didn't even think about. And then all of a sudden, yeah, like I'm going to help the lady. Or if they say no, then fine as well. I'm just going to take my things and go somewhere else. But I find that so many people, they just block themselves from really breaking free from certain patterns because they don't want to bother. They're scared of what other people are going to think. Who cares what people think, for God's sake?
And it, so totally. And, you know, it's easy to say, and also putting it into practice can sometimes be tricky because there's a lot of, you know, that conditioning. And so this is getting us back to the question of the subconscious mind. So some of these things, you know, actually many of these things, people are probably sitting there like, yeah, no duh, obviously, like, obviously you live your life this way. However, as soon as you start putting it into practice, there's some resistance, there's something that comes up, and that something is the subconscious. And so your conscious mind goes through the subconscious to access your higher self, your soul, etc. So any information is going to be channeled through your subconscious. There's no direct connection. And so what that means is whatever subconscious beliefs you have, and by the way, all of us have at least, you know, 500 to 1,000 beliefs that we may not even be aware of, that are actually guiding 95 to 98% of our interaction with the world. And then unless that channel is clear and there is no resistance to that information going in, you're going to, you know, be guided towards repeating past patterns just out of subconscious thinking. And it happens on any level that you're at, right? So the question becomes, how do you shift out of that? Well, for one is knowing about it and starting to shift and starting to notice, you know, anytime you're triggered, it's really let's say a powerful question you can ask yourself is, what must I believe in order to feel this right now? Mm-hmm. And this is going to push you to go a level beyond what you normally do. So normally we're like, oh man, this person cut me off and I am angry. Okay, great. And what does that mean? What do you believe for you to be angry? You believe that people cutting you off is disrespect. You believe that this person doesn't respect you. You believe that I'm not worthy of respect. Mm-hmm. So you have like 10 beliefs that come up just out of that one thing, and you're not even aware of them most of the time. And so bringing them to awareness and really thinking, okay, is this serving me? And chances are you're going to be like, no, it's not. I don't want this anymore. I love you. Thank you. Bye. Yeah, exactly. Get out. Put some sage on it. And you're going to go, okay, what's a different belief? What is a more empowering belief that I can choose right now? Mm. And then you get to say, okay, no, I'm worthy of respect. And even just affirming that to yourself, even saying that to yourself, is already going to shift you out of that pain. So a really easy way to shift out of pain, that it's a mechanism that I use, and it's not because I'm obsessed with growth, but it's, you know, asking yourself, how does this work? Right? Mm. So you're triggered, you know, you're angry, whatever it is. You're like, okay, how does this work? How is this feeling actually come in? How is this actually related to my subconscious? How is this related to my thoughts? And if I am a master at X, then I can influence this. Find X.
I love this. Thank you for sharing that. Like this ability to raise questions often just bring this distance between the trigger and the emotional response, and like the mind starting to loop, it kind of creates space. And then when space is being created, then we can start really bringing more self-introspection and really raise the question. Like one question that I often ask myself is like, what if this was easy? You know, instead of thinking that a relationship, a trip, or investing in something, it's so hard and complicated. It's like, what if this was easy? Because I like to believe, and I do believe for sure, that 5D reality, getting out of the matrix, is actually experiencing ease and flow in all templates and all grids, you know, in all areas of our life. And I would like as well to, you know, remind everyone that, like, sometimes we do the work in certain area of our life. Like, we have done the work professionally, right, to create our own business, to be able to sustain ourselves with it, and to be able to share our, you know, our love and our service and our divine service with the world. But that's just, it's just one template, one area of life. But then there is the one of friendship. There is the one of divine union. There is the one of being a child. There is the one of, like, for me, like, having children. So there are all of these other areas of life that might still be, you know, really condensed and trapped into the matrix. So we might progress kind of in certain areas, but then the other ones will eventually have to catch up. And it's this understanding that it's a never-ending process. And this is why it's fun as well, you know? Like, people think, oh, there's constantly work to be done. I say, yes, of course, it's awesome. Otherwise, we'd be bored. Imagine being enlightened right now. It's like, nothing to do.
Yep, I can imagine. Yep, I'm there. Thanks.
We're so there.
Well, so, and it's a beautiful concept that a mentor of mine once raised, and it's shifting, you know, we all grew up like playing like Super Mario or, you know, Tetris, whatever it is, and there's these levels, and you beat the level, and you go to the next level. You're like, sweet, and it's the same thing, and you keep going, and yet somehow it's, you know, kind of fun, and you're going towards this goal, and this is how many of us perceive life. Mm-hmm. We're like, oh, let me get this degree. Let me get another degree. Let me get this job. Let me get this promotion. It's get this thing. So it's this action. Then I'm going to have this certificate. I'm going to have this money. I'm going to have something. And then I'm going to be happy. So it's this do, have, be paradigm, which is actually bullshit. And it doesn't actually work. Why? Yes. Because by definition, if you're doing something in order to get something, yeah, that means you don't have it mm-hmm. at the start. And that already is already going to mess up the entire process, because you're going to be chasing something you don't have. And, you know, the universe communicates with us vibrationally rather than linearly. And so, yeah, linearly, we might say, I want this thing. But vibrationally, what we're saying is, I don't have it.
Yes.
And the universe goes one for one. Okay, you like dumb, but okay, here you go. You don't have it. Like, come on, change your question. So the most powerful thing we can do is change the question. And to actually shift out of that paradigm, which is actually really destructive pattern, is we get to recognize that we get to move the be to the front. So we get to actually embody and choose a state of being. So in this case, it could be playfulness. It could be, you know, anger, whatever state you want. There's some that are probably better. You probably want to be happy and loving than angry and miserable. However, your choice, right? And choosing that state, and then everything you do out of that state is amplified. And so if you're doing, you know, the same thing out of a state of bliss and happiness and contentment versus a state of anger, the results are going to be orders of magnitude different and more profound. So it's this concept of energetic leverage. And then out of that state, you're going to actually have all the things that you want and more, but because you're not chasing them. And so it's shifting from do have be to be do have. And this is really important thing for everyone to pay attention to and recognize when, whatever you're doing, what state are you doing that from? Mm. And that your responsibility is to your state. Your state is everything in life. If you're not in a state of abundance and scarcity, everything you're going to be doing is going to be making your life worse. Mm-hmm. And so the question becomes, actually, it might be better for me to go take a vacation or do nothing for 3 days in order to get back to that state of happiness and contentment and peace, rather than do this project that is supposedly impossible to delay. So doing something out of that state is only going to make it worse versus learn to manage your frequency, learn to manage what you're actually creating from so that you can then amplify that to everyone. Yeah.
I love it. It's such a powerful message. Alec, thank you for sharing that. I find that a lot of the traps that we fall into when it comes to like these illusions that we are experiencing that keep us trapped in the matrix is like around those, you know, like living from low frequency emotions or like, so when we experience anger or frustration or deep sadness, we kind of get trapped into that. And when we see that in other people, we can't detach ourselves from those emotions. Or when we go through certain experiences, we are supposed to feel like this way, like if there is a relationship breakup or if there is someone that's very close to us that passes away, you know, and it dies and like we are supposed to feel like this, like if we lose our job, we are supposed to feel stressed, we are supposed to feel angry and frustrated at the system. But actually it's like really taking a step and it's like, is this really how I'm feeling? And if I'm feeling this, can I observe the feelings but not be trapped into them? And it's going back to the heart portal. When I experience those, you know, very low frequencies, it's like they're allowed to exist because I'm human and they will happen at times, but they flow like a river. I'm not going to get trapped into that, otherwise it gets muddy and sticky and I feel sorry for my life and everything crumbles down. But it's like it passes like the river, and as you say, maybe that's the moment then to take a holiday or go for a massage or actually binge watch on Netflix some, you know, funny stuff, but not think we are those emotions, you know, like otherwise this is where we stay trapped. But being the observer, you know, staying in the heart portal, it's a lot of inner child work as well. And then, as you say, like, you know, going into higher frequencies, higher emotions. And I find that sometimes, like, what helped me when I was really, like, I had this burnout and everything was, like, shit for a while. What really helped was just having a gratitude journal. And every day I would write and really feel it, like, feeling so grateful. And sometimes I really had to think for ages. And if I think about it now, I'm like, how pathetic was that? But it's again, it's judgment on my past.
It's interesting that you said, yeah. I had to think exactly about my feelings.
I know,
think
but
about
it's like
my feelings.
No, I was doing the best I could with what I had. And they were challenging times, but I was grateful for having two daughters. I was grateful for having a cat and because somebody smiled at me at the supermarket, you know. But yep. These were the anchors. And I find it's important for each of us to have little anchors of light in our lives, you know, and that can come through a mentor or a friend or gratitude journal or a pet. But, you know, like everything that brings us back into these frequencies of gratitude and love.
Yeah, I love that. And like, to me, this is kind of a broader concept of state regulation technology. Yeah. How are you anchoring very deliberately, very consciously into specific states? Mm-hmm. And so for me, that means I have a list of whatever, 3 to 5 people that I know a conversation with them will keep me at a certain frequency. I have a weekly scheduled call with every single one of them. Mm. I have my playlists that are, whether it's ceremonial music, you know, you have other tools, like whether it's like Rappe or Nailbed or, you know, meditation or breath work, whatever those tools are. However, start developing your wizard arsenal of state regulation technology. Like, so you can pull out of a satchel, like, man, I'm depressed. Oh, look, a shiny thing. Okay, great. I like this. And it's like not to avoid reality, but recognize, okay, I'm feeling X, and okay, I acknowledge that, I allow that to exist, and I choose to go somewhere else, right? Mm-hmm. So this is different than saying, oh, this is bad, I don't want to feel this, let me go, versus, okay, this yeah. is okay, also, I choose something else, and I love both equally, and that's and that's a difference, right? So for instance, you can't tell what the internal reasoning is for a person, right? So you can see a person who is, why is that person going to a gym? Is it because they're afraid of gaining weight? Or is it because they love their body? Mm-hmm. And externally, it's going to look identical.
Yes. Yep.
Internally, it's going to make a huge difference in the results that they have. Because if they're afraid of gaining weight, even if they go to the gym 24/7, they're going to gain it elsewhere, because that is going to, that mm-hmm. that's just going to happen, because that's what they're afraid of. However, if you're doing something out of love, then nothing other than love can come out of it. And so it's just choosing to attune to, you know, this is our responsibility. It's our state. And what are we doing to manage it? And what are the regulation kind of technologies, whether it's songs, whether it's people, whether it's something else, and start asking that question. Yeah. So that then you can actually constantly choose to shift to whatever state you want, rather than be, let's say, a victim of your state. And so just like you mentioned, observing your feelings, a question that I like to ask myself, and just from this recognition of anything that's happening, there's no good or bad. The question is, what am I making this mean? And that actually gets to the beliefs. And so if something happens, you know, I have a conversation with a friend and they tell me they're going to a birthday party, and I start feeling something, I'm like, okay, this happened. What am I making this mean? And suddenly, oh, it means I'm not worthy of being invited to a birthday party. That means I don't have any friends. It means so and so and so. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I see you, Lauren. Thank you. I love you. And let's go listen to some music. And so it's catching those moments, because they're microseconds. And, you know, as people who, as we are committed to this journey of ascension, this is, we need to have total awareness of all of these thoughts if we want to shift them. Because our thoughts, our actions, and our words, they create reality. Mm-hmm. And we need to be masters at all of them in order to do that. And it's, you know, it's easier than it sounds. However, it is just declaring a commitment to do that. And kind of, have you noticed, like, I'm curious, what have you noticed for yourself since you've started paying attention to those? How have you noticed your reality shift on a practical level?
Everything has shifted, like absolutely everything in my reality. So it has come over a long period of time. You know, I've been like working on myself for, I can't even remember when I first started, but like really the changing point is always taking self-responsibility for my own feelings, so not being a victim anymore. And I started applying that around my work, but around my children as well. But then when it comes to, for example, like loving relationships, that is still a template that is extremely triggering. So it's just like observing that, even though I feel that I master it, I'm honestly pretty good at being distant, at observing my feelings. I think every single shift happening in my energy field and so on. But then all of a sudden, there is one experience, one trigger there, and then it's like, boom, being again sucked back into a vortex, like a wormhole. I was like, as soon as I can see that, I was like, oh, amazing, room, like there's more to work. Like, thank you, universe. And for me, like what changed a lot is finding it exciting. You know, so many people's like, oh, why is this happening again? I thought I had done the work. It's like, no, like, because that is already dropping into frequencies. It's like rewiring the brain for self-growth into, it's exciting, you know. Every time I triggered and I'm sad and I'm angry and I feel rejected, abandoned, it's like, yay, room for growth. And let's peel off these layers. Let's put my music on and dance, or like connect to my friends, or simply meditate and ask my galactic team and my heart and my inner child. And so like all my arsenal of tools is there, and I get to play, and, you know, I get to basically heal myself and grow. And life is just, I wake up every day grateful for having this life. And honestly, I feel emotional when I say that, because it's like, I'm still in the process of manifesting the life of my dream that I know is happening, but it's kind of, you know, it's at the junction. So if I wake up and I feel like shit, for me, like nothing has really changed, but yet I'm so fully aligned that I can feel everything is there, you know? And the other day I was asking my galactic team, I would love to experience for you to place me already in my future timeline, completely free from the matrix and just experience it for a moment. And they were like, no, that's removing all the fun we're having right now. And I was like, oh, but it's fun, you know, like self-growth and all of this process. Life is fun, man, isn't it?
And it's your choice, right? This is totally your choice to view it that way. And this is, you know, this is one of the kind of other codes is reality is whatever you choose for it to be. Mm. And so it's your choice how you respond. It's your choice how you view something. So one person can, you know, see a person across the street in a parking lot and be scared because they have a belief that the world is unsafe. And another person who believes, like, everywhere you go, you meet amazing people, they're going to see that. They're going to be like, that's my new best friend. And same external event, but totally different, you know, experience of reality. And so this ability to constantly shift what is it that you believe. And, you know, in the moment, adjusting your belief system and having it be really flexible so that you can be like, okay, these are the codes that are serving me right now. This is what I want. And just shifting in the moment, like, oh, okay, now this person is awesome. And like just being able to do that is what allows you to become a master of your reality, which then of course impacts your relationships. It impacts your, you know, the kind of revenues you generate in your business. It kind of shifts the products that you're creating, the fulfillment that you have. And so just this, you know, it's easy to say, okay, shift your reality. And what does that really mean? Well, it really alters how you feel during the day. It alters how peaceful, how content, how happy you are. Many of us have felt these moments. However, they're fleeting. You know, if you count the number of seconds for many people in the day that you feel truly grounded and happy present, it would be like you can count it on one hand.
Yes.
Like, okay, so what if you could feel that all the time?
Yeah.
And if you believe that, or at least allow yourself to play with that, then ask the question, how? And then start then working with mentors and guides and coaches and retreats and whatever it is and books, and find the instrument that works for you at that time. However, you are responsible for taking that action. No one is going to take that for you. And this is oftentimes when we let other people make, you know, choices, this is actually letting go of responsibility for our desires and letting go of responsibility for our happiness. So when somebody says you have two options, it's kind of the lazy way out to say, I want that one, as opposed to checking in with yourself and saying, oh, what is it that I truly want? And I'll take responsibility for my choice. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to declare that. And yeah, there's a possibility you might not get that, and that's okay. However, you're owning what is it that you want rather than taking on someone else's choices. And so this is, you know, start recognizing everything in your life you're creating, and it's your choice, and you deserve to have what you want. You deserve to have what you dream of, not just what you want. You deserve to thrive, not just to survive. And some of these things, you know, these are maybe gradual realizations for people. And you know, we're here to just point you in that direction and just take what resonates.
I love this, Alex, because it really touches on, we can create the reality we want. And that's, for me, like extracting ourselves from all these illusions brought to us, you know, in this matrix that we've been brought up into, which is like, you cannot have it all. You know, don't be too demanding. Just be satisfied with a bit of this, a bit of that, a bit of that. And when we really start expanding from our heart center and connect to our soul, we realize we are limitless. There is an infinite amount of love and experiences and money and abundance and work and friends and travel. There is just an infinite abundance there, you know, like the quantum has infinite possibilities. And for me, it's like being a little bit like in a magnificent store and saying, like, you can have it all. It's like, oh no, I don't deserve it, and running away. It's recatching ourselves as well into saying, actually, I can work on opening my heart into this understanding that I'm a divine soul. I didn't come here to be a selfish bitch. I'm not, you know, I'm doing my work. So why is it that I think that I don't deserve to have a better half by my side, or that I don't deserve to have, you know, like a business that's worldwide? And like, it's like we box ourselves into these categories thinking we cannot be too demanding, but that's still an illusion, because we can have it all. We came here, especially at this time and age, to break free and help humanity break free. And it's our duty each and every single day to break free from this matrix illusion thing. Oh, I cannot do this because who am I? Who am I? You yourself, for that sake, like, you infinite being, you know, like, you're magnificent. You're warrior, especially people watching this kind of videos. People who are watching us speaking right now, we are coded the same way, right? So it means that you are light worker, you're like keeper, like, you are a freaking warrior. You didn't come here to just play small and feel sorry and not create anything amazing for yourself. So it's just like wiring ourselves to this kind of deep courage and saying, yeah, fuck yeah, I'm amazing and I deserve it, right?
And it's not even about being demanding, right? Because it's,
no.
It's recognizing that you deserve it. Just
yeah.
Because you are. It's not like, you know, the really fun question to ask is like, oh, well, you know, you shouldn't have this, or you can't have, you know, you can't have a partner that has all of these qualities, or you can't have a job where, you know, you're super financially successful and you get to only work 4 hours a week and this. And the question I always ask them, like, okay, but what if I can?
Yeah.
And what if I can? Like, there's, then I owe it to myself to at least try. Like, this is how limiting beliefs get created, right? So, and I'm going to say, let's cover this and then maybe do a couple activations for people. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yay, quantum. I love quantum stuff. So this is how limiting beliefs get created. So we're told like, oh, don't do this. Why? Well, because we've done it that way. So they ran an experiment where they put three monkeys in a cage, and there's a banana at the top of this rope. And naturally the monkeys are like, I love bananas. I want to go get them. And as soon as they would start climbing it, the mean scientists there, they would send an electric shock and it would shock the monkey. So sure enough, like 10 minutes in, you know, the monkeys are like, oh yeah, man, fuck those bananas. We're going to go hang out in the corner. They're not shocking us over there. We're going to go hang out. So the next day they take out one of the monkeys and they put in a new one who's never climbed the you know, that rope before. And of course it's like, sees bananas, like, bananas, guys, what are you doing? Let's go get bananas. And it starts climbing it. And the other two monkeys pull her down. And she's like, and she tries it a few times and she keeps getting pulled down. She's like, okay, well, there must be a reason. And then the next day they take out another one of the original monkeys and put in a new one. Sure enough, as soon as she tries to climb, the other two pull her down. And so by the end of the fourth day, the only monkeys in the cage are ones who've never been shocked. And any new monkey that gets in gets pulled down. Why? Those monkeys have no fucking idea why, but just because they were pulled down. And so this is how all limiting beliefs get created in our reality. Oh, you shouldn't have your dreams. Why? Well, just because, trust us, it's safe. Why? Yeah. You have no idea why. And so this is like a really important thing to recognize. Whatever people tell you, you can or cannot do is based on their own past history that they may not have even experienced. So it doesn't matter. And so deal into it for yourself. And maybe it's worth it to get shocked. And maybe it's worth it to try something else. Because maybe the scientists went home or on a coffee break and they can't press the shock button and you can get those bananas. You have no idea. And so this is an invitation to actually then try it rather than simply listening to what people say. Yeah.
I love it. Be a divine rebel. Not by anything.
Just out of love, not out of like, oh, you guys are dumb.
Yeah.
I respect your reality. I respect that you don't want those bananas and you may not want to have, you know, be shocked and you have this fear. Totally normal. I get that. For me, I'm going to try it. And it's not out of resistance or rejection. It's out of love for all choices and choosing the one that resonates with you. And that's that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
And we're going to do a little quantum activation. What is a quantum activation? Well, let's say it's opening up our channel to then channel our galactic team and guides in order to perform quantum surgery on everyone. It sounds a lot more fun than those words. And so they've actually already been working on all of you this entire time. and they're always present whenever we're doing a transmission. So actually this entire transmission is coded. And so this goes beyond the mind. And so you may or may not, you know, feel, hear, or see anything, depending on how sensitive to energy you are. However, I'm going to trust that everything that comes through is in your highest alignment. So I'm going to do something for however long it takes, a few minutes, and then Tindreen, welcome to call in the teams that you like. Yeah. So
yeah.
Cool. So at this point, make sure you're sitting down with your feet on the ground, with nothing crossed, and sitting up straight, and closing your eyes, and taking a deep breath into your heart. One more breath into your heart. And visualizing a beautiful golden light entering through the crown of your head, down your spine, down through your feet, extending through the core of the earth, wrapping itself around the core, wrapping your body in beautiful golden light, and extending upwards through a golden cord coming out of the top of your head, connecting through time and space to a beautiful soul star, putting you into your column of ascension. And connecting deeply with yourself, the state of equanimity and presence. And calling in all of your guides, all of your ancestors, soul family, benevolent light beings. And connecting to your higher self now. And feeling your entire field clear of any no longer serving cords, soul contracts, those are all null and void. And feeling yourself become more light, more expansive. Feeling the energy run through every cell of your body, removing any blockages, any fear-based programs, dissolving them from this timeline and dimension and all timelines and dimensions. And as you listen closely to your higher self, having them share their message for you, and repeating silently to yourself in your head, I am who I am. I am where I am. Love is my birthright. Prosperity is my birthright. I am the creator of my reality. I am safe. I am guided. I am protected. I am enough. I am love. I am. And feeling that belief template integrate and replace anything that is no longer serving. And feeling that deep connection to your higher self, to your soul, and allowing their happiness at your progress, at your journey to flow through you, and to ground into Gaia, attuning to Christ consciousness, and feeling a beautiful white flame emanate from your heart, growing until it fully encompasses your body, growing wider, bigger, spreading out in all directions to infinity, clearing out anything that no longer serves. And from this state of unconditional love and presence, tuning to gratitude for yourself, for the journey that you're on, for your guides, for each other. And then choosing to start hearing the sounds around you, feeling your body, feeling present. And so it is. And when you're ready, wiggling your fingers and your toes and opening your eyes. Welcome back. Hopefully everyone has landed. Thank you for receiving that.
Thank you, Alex.
So at this point, Sandrine, if you want to take people on a little bit of a journey with the council or anything you feel called to share, this would be a beautiful time.
Thank you. Yes, it's simply a quantum healing practice that once you learn about it, you can do anything you like with it. You become the magician of your own heart. So I would just like to invite you from this beautiful state created with this activation from Alex to simply place the right hand onto your heart center and the left hand onto your right hand, and for a moment connect back to your heart portal now. Simply feeling your heart beating into your chest, and as you breathe from your heart center, you're going to feel the electromagnetic field of your heart increasing with every breath that you take now. Feel your heart within. Feel your heart radiating all around you. And now from this heart place, visualize yourself standing in front of your heart center. You are standing in front of your heart portal now. Simply see what you see and feel what you feel, trusting that whatever you receive is in perfect accordance with your soul right now. And it's happening anyway. Once you know the technique, you can learn on repeating it, so you can become the master of your own heart healing. So as you step inside your heart center now, you're going to enter your heart portal, simply and humbly entering your heart portal as the door opens up in front of you now. You step into your heart center. You might like to release your hands now. Thank you. And you find yourself inside of your heart portal, the main chamber for your heart, asking and requesting to have certain visuals for all the participants on this session now and also in the recording so they can receive certain information needed right now for their own understanding of their reality. In here, you're going to see what you see and feel what you feel. It is related to your experience in life in this very moment of creation. Look at this room that you have stepped into inside your heart center. How is it? Does it need maintenance? Is it bleeding? Is it sad? Is it congested? Is it restricted? Or on the opposite, is it magnificent, open, crystal clear, full of light and color? Simply receive information. Every time you step into your heart portal, at every single moment of creation, you can receive information about what you're experiencing in this very moment. You can receive what you need to receive to understand what your soul needs to tell you right now. What does your soul need to tell you right now? Why is this room looking like this? Know that every time you come back here, it will become easier and easier to receive accurate information, in-depth information. It is simply practice. These techniques are available to all. This is quantum healing available to all. So of course you can do it. Do not fear. Do not be entangled into subconscious limiting beliefs and patterns, making you think that you cannot do this because you're not intuitive enough, you're not a healer, you are not whatever your mind is saying to you right now. We say you are. Why? Because you are the light of the infinite, and therefore you also have all the codes needed to be able to do this quantum healing on yourself. It is available to all humans. Access it now, placing this code inside of you of being able to access on heart healing through this activation. And now, magically, because everything is possible, right? Magically see in your hand, there is a magic wand there. Yes, you can see yourself as a wizard or a fairy, whatever comes into your awareness to make you feel super cool and powerful also. A magician or a wizard, right? So you've got your magic wand now. And you're going to simply place a wish that resides beyond time and space reality that you understand now, a wish that comes directly from this heart portal that you are here now. What is it that you can bring within your reality right now to increase the state of the room, of the heart that you are in right now? What is it that you need? Is it learning? Is it healing? Is it fun and joy? Is it a holiday? Is it plant medicine? What is it that you need right now to see? Simply increase the frequencies of your heart portal right now. Allow yourself to receive what you receive and see what you see. And after that, you're going to declare from your soul, the magnificent soul that you are. You are going to declare, I am ready to receive because I deserve to receive all the codes that I need to receive for me to be able to access the next step on my evolution process available to me right now in total accordance with my soul. I thank you for being there and for serving me on this process. Thank you for allowing me to receive with great ease and flow all that I need to receive in this moment so I can be more connected to my heart, to my soul. And then you're going to take your magic wand and do your magic the way you feel like doing it. Some of you will say words like language, see colors, simply swing the magic wand around, whatever comes to you naturally. You might even like to jump and run around in your heart portal like an excited child. Allow these frequencies to uplift you and to raise the frequencies within your light body also as you activately heal this heart portal in this very moment of creation, therefore collapsing outdated timelines that are not in the best for you right now. Collapsing outdated timelines simply by anchoring yourself into love, into trust, into flow. And when you feel that this process is good for you in this moment, simply visualize now a violet light, asking now that violet light is being brought into the heart space so the violet light can come and seal this activation for the purpose of evolution with perfect accordance with your soul and your ability to receive in this very moment. Feel the purple light within the heart expanding all around, locking in all the beautiful healing frequencies and codes that you have just received from the conversation, from Alex activation, and from our activation, sealing everything with a multidimensional space, time and space reality, also benefiting past horizontal line and parallel lives in all accordance with the soul journey right now. Locking in, just breathe and feel what you feel for a moment. No, friend, that you can come back very often, every day, several times a day, to simply learn to connect with your soul, with your intuition, with your magnificent self, because you are magnificent, because you are here, because we love you. Love yourself more. All is well. Trust the process. We have your back. And now simply come back into this time and space reality. Feel your feet on the ground. Connect to the breath and breathe from the heart. Feel what you feel and see what you see. Welcome back, magician. Wizard of this time and space reality, we welcome you into your new reality now. And you can open your eyes when you're ready.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Thank you for that beautiful, beautiful activation.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you to our friend from Arcturus.
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome to your multidimensional quantum self. And so I know that we're going to be hosting a few more of these in the coming weeks with some shifting topics, talking about some additional dimensions. Quantum healing is awesome because you get to, in 30 seconds, remove something that could have been there for 30 years.
Yeah.
Yes, it works exactly that way. And so for anyone who feels called to go deeper and you're really committed to this journey, both Sandrine and I do this and guide people through this ascension process. So feel free to just reach out or follow us on Instagram just reach out after this. And we're excited to do more of these in the coming weeks. And thank you guys for receiving, both of you on the call and those watching the recording. Do you have any final words, Sandrine?
Thank you all. Thank you so much for joining us. It's a great pleasure to, you know, to connect with you all, because your presence here allows Alex and I as well to serve and you know, fulfill our purpose and our mission. So we wouldn't be doing if you aren't watching. So thank you so much.
Yeah, for sure. We're excited. And please feel free to join next time and invite your friends and, you know, anyone that you feel like will benefit from these activations, which is pretty much everyone. So much love from me, from you, to all of you.
Thank you.
See you next time.
See you next time. Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode, you will love Fractal Alchemy 5D Quantum University. Please visit my website, sandrines.com, for more information.